The evangelist St. Luke was privileged, so far as bulk is concerned, to record more of the New Testament than any other writer. But so far as we know, he was never privileged to see the Lord Jesus in this life. The Apostle John, though so far as amount is concerned, who was privileged to record about 20%, as opposed to the 25% of Luke, of the New Testament. And so far as we know, he saw the Lord Jesus in this life more often than anyone else. On the day when he was called from the ranks of the disciples of John the Baptist, he witnessed the first miracle. He witnessed Jesus walking on the water. He witnessed the transfiguration. He witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter. He was with the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was the only disciple to stand under the cross. He saw him on the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection and other appearances and at his ascension. But there was just one more appearance, which was about two generations later, when he was probably in his 80s or 90s, in exile on the island of Patmos, and the text which was just read to you gave us a description of what the Apostle John saw. Now, you meditate on this description for just a moment. It said that Jesus was dressed in a robe down to his feet, and that he had a belt around his chest, not his waist, but his chest. His head and hair were white like wool and snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire, his feet like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. In his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth, a two-edged sword. And his face shone like the brilliant sun. Reminds one of Jesus' appearance to Isaiah in the temple. In fact, the Apostle John tells us in John 12 that Isaiah saw his glory. The antecedent of his is Jesus Christ. And the reaction of both, that of Isaiah and of John on the island of Patmos, was very similar. When Isaiah says that he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips," those are words of despair. And we read that when the Apostle John saw the Lord appear to him, he fell down as if he were dead. But the Lord comforted them, didn't he? In the case of Isaiah, he sent an angel to the altar to cleanse his lips of his sin. And in the case of the Apostle John, he said immediately, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." When I taught at St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas, I was there at the time when the new library, the present library, was built. And when that building was dedicated, some artist from the Kansas district painted a series of paintings based on incidents or characters in the Book of Revelation. And these were put on display on the walls of the library for several years, and then they were stored in a closet in the faculty office building. Well, the next year, the school engaged a business teacher who had her office right across the hall from this closet where these paintings were stored. And she came to my office one day and she said, "I need more space to store my files, and I'm just wondering whether you would know who could help me get rid of these horrible paintings that are in this closet." So I went to the closet with her, and the one on top was a painting of this scene of Jesus. And really, I must say, she was right. When you stop to think of this description of Jesus, it is horrifying. And I said to her, and I was almost sorry that I did, "Good lady, that's Jesus." And she was very sorry. She said, "I'm sorry, I did not know." She was very repentant. It's almost as if she was saying, "Don't ever tell anybody what I said." And, you know, I never forgot that. I thought about that so often. I thought about that incident so often. No wonder Jesus said over and over, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Blessed is he who does not think that I am a horrible person. That's what that means. Blessed is he who is not offended in me, runs like off our backs like water off a duck's back. It's meaningless. I mean, what do the unbelieving Jews think of Jesus today? That's what Jesus was warning us about. Don't let me become a scandal unto you, a horrible thing. In Mark 1, you remember when Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath day, and he was preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden a man stood up and he said, listen here, what are you doing here? We know you've come to destroy us. I know you who you are. And it was a devil that was speaking in him, wasn't it? Now, that devil in this man was a missionary of Satan who was trying to make Jesus look horrible to these people as their destroyer. That's what Isaiah and John feared. John, who had recorded all of this blessed gospel, and for all these years had been suffering for the sake of Jesus, now is suddenly afraid of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something? You never get to the point in life where you don't need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Old as he was, in his 80s or 90s, when he saw the Son of God in his glory, he fell to the floor as a man who was dead, whatever that means, but it's something pretty serious, isn't it? And Jesus puts his hand on him and says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And that's what Advent and Christmas is all about, isn't it? Just think of all the fear nots in the Christmas story. And just think of that wonderful group of elder saints in the Christmas story who needed to be told, fear not. And that's what we need to hear. There are so many things you and I are not above considering Jesus a horrible person. I mean, anybody who says that he would never do that is trusting in his own righteousness. Because look what happened to Isaiah and the octogenarian or nonagenarian John. That could happen to you and to me, could it not? And so may the Lord bless us with simple repentance and the true faith which hears him say, fear not, I am alive, I am not dead, and therefore you will live forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.